we're going to answer these questions real quick. And I'll tell you what the money's going to look like, okay? We're going to answer these questions real quick. I'm going to give you a ministry update. Buddy Joe's going to give you an awesome testimony. And we're going to auction a few items. So, the first question, and I will start, is, I'm just going to read it and then tell you the answer. My boyfriend has anger issues, and when we fight, he never hits me, but he does hit things and scream at me. I recently told him I want him to get help, and we shouldn't be together until he does. How do I know if I made the right choice? Am I supposed to help him with this journey, or let him get better on his own? It's not going to get better. This is my answer. It's not going to get better. Leave while you can. And do not settle. Do not settle because that's not what Jesus wants for you. Okay? He wants the very, very best for you, and that is not a man who screams and hits things and yells at you, and that's never, never okay. And if the person who wrote that wants to talk to me, I will be available for you. But I know that's going to be hard for you, and I don't say that like Cass, because I know you probably love this person, and you want to stay, but I'm telling you, I'll be down on that train for you. So, am I on? Do I have two mics now? So you can really hear me. Am I on? Okay. Am I on? Okay. So this is a question that says, with all the false teachings, how can our best guard, how can we best guard ourselves? And then the second part of the question is, should we be exposing these who lead astray? Well, the best way to guard yourself is to be in the Word of God. Okay? And so if it doesn't line up with the Word, then it's not true. If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. Right? But this is one of the things you have to be careful with when you're doing that, is you need to use the Word in context. Because a lot of false teachers, the tactic is to take one scripture and just spell the whole teaching of it. And it's in the Bible. Like, that scripture is in the Bible. But a lot of the other things he's going to say with it or not. So even though something in there is from the Word of God, don't assume it's true. Because you need to know it in the context of the Word of God. Does that make sense? And then the second part, why should we be exposing those who lead astray? But when I read this yesterday, when we read this, one of the things that really hit me was, you need to be really careful when you take on that path to expose somebody. Because you want to first, number one, make sure that what you're thinking is correct. So there's a lot of wisdom and counsel. So find people who know the Word of God. You know, throw those things up and then figure out what's saying in my mind and what I'm thinking. And sometimes it's going to be pretty obvious. But just because you don't agree with somebody, what somebody says one time, doesn't mean it's a false teaching. Right? We have a pastor, and I guarantee you not everybody agrees with him 100% of the time. But he's an amazing teacher, and he's faithful to the Word of God. So, the Old Testament says that a word should be established by one or two witnesses, so never take it upon yourself to just expose somebody. Do your due diligence. If you have a friend and you feel like your friend is in a cult or is being deceived by false teaching, go love on your friend, show them the truth, and just pray. But be careful with exposing, because God will expose. Right? Asking questions is one of the wisest things we can do, and this is one of the wisest questions I've ever heard asked. What does it mean when the Bible says, "His mercy towards those who fear him"? It has been said a few times, and I do not understand. P.S. I'm new. This is my very first retreat ever. Also, this this year will hit my 1 year with my walk with the Lord.
Woo-hoo!
And she had, whoever you are, congratulations. And she had a very, very nice PSS2L. She said, all you powerful women are just amazing and awesome. Thank you all. Great job. So, what I want to say is, we're not that powerful, but we serve a powerful God. Would you agree with me on that? And one of the reasons that we're powerful is we have learned to fear the Lord. So I'm going to give you two scriptures, and I actually snapped them to my photo roll because I want to give you one more way to have the Word. Like Brendan just said, it's the only thing that guards us. And I think Scott can put my screenshot on this. This is Isaiah chapter 8. This is what God says about fearing Him. Context. Brendan just said context. The Assyrian army was coming to get Israel, and all the Israelites were shaking in their boots. What causes you anxiety and fear today? What causes you to shake in your boots? Who has shaken in their boots this week? Did the drive up here make you shake in your boots? Well, this is what God says about fearing Him. He says, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. They were shaking because of their enemies. The Lord of hosts, we know Him as the God of angel armies. Him you shall hallow, which means He is holy. Let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. So, He says, fear Him first. The focus is on fearing Him first. He can crush an enemy with the snap of His finger. So when we're afraid, we run to Him, and we say we fear Him. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, this is what He said about fear. Don't fear those who can kill your body. Fear Him who can cast your soul into hell. And then later, He said, do not fear, little flock. Do not fear, little flock. I'm your good shepherd. So when we're afraid, the fear of the Lord causes us to run to Him, and He becomes our sanctuary. When we ask God for forgiveness, immediately, Psalm 103:12 says, He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Let me explain to you what that means. It's like He forgot, literally. He forgot. Like, you might bring up a sin to Him, and God's like, what are you talking about? Like, I forgot about that. But I think sometimes we get confused because we feel so deeply. Sometimes you might feel like, I just need a grieve or lament over my sin. And God wants us to be broken over our sin. But I also just like to scratch the serpent's head out loud. Okay? So here's what I do. When the accuser comes and says, because He remembers. God forgets. The accuser remembers, and He brings it up to us over and over and over. And there's a scripture that says, take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. So when the enemy comes to me, like, he came to me right after my teaching and was like, oh, you just put up and that you are losing. And I was like, hold on. That woman is dead. I am a new creation in Christ. God set me free. And here's the thing, you might say, oh, well, that seems like I'm crazy, but I will do this driving in the car when a fiery dart and a lie, when the endeavor comes to me, I remind him who he's talking about. That I was worthy of those nails and Jesus' hands and feet. And if God says that I am redeemed and whole and beautiful and pure, that's where I am. And it's not about your feelings. You fake it till you make it, girls. You just speak truth. So that's my answer to that. Okay, the question that I have is, how much is too much to share when you're talking about your day and it has a story at home? When it comes to sharing, I'm probably the first one to ask because I'm an oversharer. But I also think that there's some practicality in that, and Christians need to know this, and that is to be real. Being who you are, I understand, regardless of how much of age you are, be truly honest. Like what the amazing power of God at work when someone like Elisa takes a microphone and shares her past. The important thing there is to be real. There's also wisdom, and God tells us that the, our tongue, you know, can be a stir boat. It's just a tiny thing that can make a really big difference. So I think that there needs to be wisdom in considering what you're sharing and to whom you're sharing, and that it's yours to share, making sure that it is absolutely yours to share. If you're going home and you're talking about your day and using wisdom, that it is encouraging. Maybe it's also we're talking, not only taking our thoughts captive, but like we talked about what we're putting into our minds, what we're going to be putting out, but let it be lovely. Is it true? Says our lines, boundary lines, have fallen out to us in pleasant places. And if someone is toxic to you, God can take care of them. God can speak to them. You don't need to reach out to them. God can reach out to them. You hold your boundary lines. Perfect person, and that was Jesus.